Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Daniel chapter 7. Tonight's going to be a different kind of message. You say shorter? No. Really kind of instructional, be kind of teachy, if you will, a little bit to instruct us in some things. I'm going to have a handout in a few minutes here. And I could read the whole chapter. We're going to deal with kind of the whole chapter, but for time's sake, I'm just going to read a portion of it and I'll go from there. But just remember, the Bible never gives us information just for information's sake.
Amen.
God tells us things because he wants those things to move us.
Amen.
And to stir us and to change us. And so although we'll be hearing a lot of informational things tonight, perhaps some of it a little bit of a repetition, because it's a repetition here in the Bible. And I'm just going to go ahead and do what God did. He repeated some things. I'm going to repeat some things. And but I do hope in my heart and your heart, it really helps us. And so we're in Daniel chapter 7, and we'll begin in verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. Behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was said, and the books were open. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Amen. Now I'm going to stop there, but I'm going to read a little bit in a moment, because this second portion from verses 15 to 28 is the interpretation of the dream. Now I'm going to deal with that in the message, so let's just read a little bit of it. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, Amen. Even forever and ever. Amen. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Amen. Now we'll stop there, and God willing, I'll preach on the first half tonight, and God willing, next time we'll talk a little bit, perhaps, about this little horn. So let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to help us, because we have a mountain of things to talk about tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help me as I preach your word. Lord, I know that this will be somewhat of an instructional, teachy kind of message, and I pray that you'd bless and help me to speak accurately. Help me, Lord, to be used of thee in a way to bring glory to thee, but also to give your people understanding in these things that are to come. And so I pray you'd remove any distractions from this room and from our minds tonight. Help us to have understanding, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I get started, I want to ask the ushers to come. We're going to go ahead and hand out this little sheet tonight as quickly as we can. And as they're handing, can you grab a sheet and listen at the same time? How many can do that? Raise your hand if you can do that. No, you can't even do this, can you? You know, one of those things. But anyway, let's try it. Now, as they're handing it out, let's talk about some things. As I had mentioned last week, the book of Daniel can be divided into two distinct parts. Here's what I mean by that. The first part would be chapters 1 through 6 that deals primarily with narrative. In other words, the stories of Daniel's life. Then from chapter 7 to chapter 12, it deals primarily with prophecy. And so when we come to Daniel chapter 7, what we've come to is the beginning of the dreams and the visions and the prophecies that God, through Daniel, wants to give to us. Amen?
Amen.
God wants to tell us some things that are going to happen. Amen. Now, it's interesting to note, you may be interested in this or not, just a little side note, that Daniel chapter 7 is the last chapter that is in the Chaldean or the Aramaic language. From chapter 2:4, verse 4, to chapter 7, the Aramaic call language is used instead of the Hebrew. But again, after this, it'll turn back to the Hebrew language. Just a note for your own edification or just buying time while they hand that out, however you want to look at it. But understand that this second part of Daniel thus reveals four dreams or four visions that God gave through Daniel, each of which are marked off or dated by the rule of some king. Here's what I mean. Now notice chapter 7 and verse 1. Here is the beginning of his first vision. We read in verse 1, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Look at chapter 8 and verse 1. Here's his second vision. We read, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, there it is, a vision appeared unto me. Vision number 2. Go to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 1. We read, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. So here is his third vision. Then his last vision or dream or prophecy, however you want to, whatever you want to call it, we read in chapter 10 and verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. This last vision is going to cover chapter 10, 11, and 12. So again, his first vision is in chapter 7, his second dream or vision in chapter 8, his third in chapter 9, and his fourth in chapters 10, 11, and 12. Now, if you'll notice your handout that I gave you tonight, you'll see that there is no doubt a distinct parallel between chapter 2 of the book of Daniel, where we saw Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the golden image, that great image, and this chapter, chapter 7 of the book of Daniel, and his vision of the four beasts. Now, both of these chapters, chapter 2 and chapter 7, and other things beyond this, are going to speak of the history of the Gentile world empire. In other words, a time that God refers to as the times of the Gentiles. Jesus mentioned that in Luke chapter 21. Now, to get an understanding of some things, I want you to hold your place here, maybe put that little picture there in there, and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because if when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to point out something that is very important for all of us if we are going to interpret the Bible properly.
Amen.
Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32. I'll give you a moment to get there. Notice we read, "Give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." Now remember that God has three distinct groups with three distinct programs that are going on concurrently in this world.
Amen.
At least at this stage we're in history. Three distinct groups with three distinct programs. Here's what I mean by that. God has a program for the Jews, for Israel. By the way, they are still a part of his program. Amen. Although they have been set aside, they are blinded because of their rejection of the Messiah. Understand, after the rapture, they are going to come to know the Lord as Savior and be used in a great and mighty way. And they aren't going to get the promised land.
Amen.
Those are literal promises. So God has a program for the Jew. But he also has a program for the church. The church, we know, began with Christ and his disciples, and the church age is going to end at the rapture.
Amen.
And so here we are in the church age, and God's program for the Jews is still going on. They have been set aside to be restored. There's a program for the church here. We'll be raptured there, raptured shortly, praise the Lord for that, ending the church age. But then there's a third program, and that is God's program for the Gentiles. Now, when I speak of that, I'm speaking of the Gentile world powers. So there's a program going on for Israel, the Jew, a program for the church, and then God is also working a program out in the Gentile world powers, the nations that you and I see before our eyes today. Now, it is vital that you and I, as Bible readers, as hopefully Bible students, that we do not mix up these three programs or try to blend them together. Because if we mix them up or we try to blend them together, you will be off in your eschatology. You will be off in your understanding of the end times events. And what God is revealing to us here, going back to Daniel chapter 7 now, is a prophetic history of the times of the Gentiles. A prophetic history of the Gentile world powers. A prophetic history of God's program for the Gentiles. And what we had seen already given to us, slightly, not as specific here, in chapter 2, is now in a little bit being amplified and more detailed here in chapter 7. I like the way Levi Strauss put it. He's a commentator. He says, chapter 2 depicts world rule from the human view, while chapter 7 and 8 is the divine view. Man sees the kingdoms of this world as great exhibitions of human ingenuity and might. Do we not?
Right.
God looks upon them as bestial in character.
Right.
The divine viewpoint shows human government to be brutal and to be terrible at its core.
Right.
That is the true picture, and that's where it's going to lead.
Right.
Now, tonight we're going to take a look. Again, in a somewhat of an instructional way, I'm going to give you a few zaps along the way as I make some applications. But tonight we're going to look at Daniel's dream and Daniel's vision. It is a dream that focuses on the four beasts that represent the four major empires in Gentile world history. Now understand something about human government and these empires. These are empires that have tried to achieve what mankind has tried since the Garden of Eden. And that is this, should I say, since the fall of man. Amen. They are attempting to create a utopia on this earth right. without God. Right. They are attempting to tame the human heart and solve the human problem without God. Right. They're trying to rule the world apart from the true and living God. And we will see from this chapter in the Bible that all of those attempts have come to an end, and they will come to an end. Amen. And will be under the judgment of God. Amen. And so tonight I'd like to preach on this subject. When the beasts fall. Amen. When the beasts fall. Not about you, but I like to win.
Amen.
I like to be on a winning team.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. And nothing better than knowing that you've played your hardest and done your best and tried to remain a person of character and winning. Amen. Amen. I love to be. I've been on some losing teams, by the way. That's not fun. When I wrestled in high school, we were in my freshman year, District 32 champs in New Jersey. And man, that was wonderful. That was sweet. We were champs. Amen. And we thanked the Lord for that. But you know what? There were other times that we lost. And I tell you what, I liked winning more than I liked losing. And may I remind you here tonight, if you are saved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are on the winning team. Amen. No matter what it looks like,
amen.
We're on the winning team. Now, there's one thing that prophecy proves, at least to me, and I think to you as well, it is that the Bible's true.
Amen.
It's absolutely true. And since the Bible is true, and you're here tonight, if you're saved and serving Him, you will sure be glad that you invested your life in what you did when that time comes. So tonight, let's look at this dream. And let's make some applications here. Notice, first of all, as we consider this dream, number one, the saint that God used. The saint that God used. Notice verse 1 and 2. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. Now, it's interesting because in the first part of the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, if you remember, it was Nebuchadnezzar that had the dream. And it was Daniel that interpreted it. But here now, in chapter 7, this second part, we see that it's Daniel that's now having the dream. And it's going to be celestial beings, angels, so forth, that are going to tell him what the dream means. Now, this chapter begins by telling us two things about this person, Daniel. First of all, the point that it took place. Notice, we read it was in the first year of Belshazzar. Now, that would mean the year was about 552 B.C. So this dream came to Daniel sometime between the events of chapter 4 when Nebuchadnezzar had that tree dream, if you remember, and he was humbled, and Daniel chapter 5 that we find the record of the fall of the Babylonian Empire that night, you remember, where they snuck in and killed him and took over the empire in 539 B.C. And so this event or this dream, this vision took place sometime between chapter 4 and chapter 5. That's the point it occurred. But notice the person God used. God wants to reveal something to mankind.
Amen.
He wants to show something to us. And the person that He chooses to reveal this information to, this prophecy to, is this man, Daniel. Now, we know from history, secular history, and the Bible, that Daniel would now be in his 80s. He was an 80-year-old man. Now, even later in this book, when we get to chapter 8 and chapter 9 and chapter 10, when we see the later rains and more dreams and years later, once again, when God chooses to reveal something to mankind, He chooses to use the man Daniel. It was Daniel that received the dream. It was Daniel that wrote out the dream, according to verse 1. It was Daniel that told the dream. My point is this, God used Daniel for His work.
Amen.
You say, yeah, and? Well, do you know that Daniel's service can either bring comfort or conviction to our senior saints today?
Right. There you go.
Can I say that again?
Amen.
Daniel's service to God can either bring comfort and encouragement or perhaps conviction to our senior saints today.
Amen.
Now, I understand that there are some senior saints that are unable to do certain things because of health reasons and physical limitations. I'm not talking about tonight. So when I stand out there in the hallway to shake your hand, don't try to squeeze my hand to hurt it, all right? I'm not talking about that. But the truth of the matter is there are too many senior saints in our churches that have not only retired from their secular work, but they have also retired from their spiritual work. Ooh, it's awful quiet there. All the young people said amen. Some of the senior saints did. You know, there's some things that you can do as a senior saint. And there are senior saints that can do many things but refuse to do it. Amen. Why is it we can walk a great distance when we go on vacation? Or we go in the woods to do something, or we go to the park, or we walk the golf course, but we can't walk to put a John Romans on a door. I'm just saying. Why is it we can talk and talk and tell everybody about this and that, and boy, we yak, and we'll complain, and we'll call about who did what to who, and who's this and that, but we can't talk to lost people. Why is that? Why is it we can, senior saints, some of them can attend graduations, they can attend weddings where they're sitting for hours, but to sit in a revival meeting for an hour? Oh no, can't do that. Something's wrong, my friend.
Amen.
There are many senior saints that can do much more in our churches than they are doing. And the latter days of a person's life can be some of the best days of your life spiritually. If you just don't retire on God.
Amen.
You know, we get the idea, we look back and we say, well, I've done it. You know, I ran the bus route. I did this. I did that. Okay, well, thank the Lord. But you can still do, many of us, many of you can still do other things.
Right.
And why don't we? Daniel did.
Right.
Daniel was active. Think of the people in the Bible that were in their 80s and they still served the Lord till the end.
Amen.
Caleb did it. Joshua did it. Moses did it. All of them served the Lord till the end. May I make the point, if you're alive here tonight, then God is not through with you.
Amen.
Can still use you. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't. I know the aches and pains. I understand. I'm starting to understand that stuff. I understand you don't get up in the morning, you got to oil the joints and all that and wait till you get all the creaks out before you can start moving. I'm starting to understand all that. But you know, don't stop reading your Bible. Don't stop praying. Don't stop talking about the Lord. Don't stop winning souls. Don't stop encouraging others. Don't stop being faithful to church. Don't stop serving when and where you can. You know, God never said to Daniel, well, Daniel, you know, you're a little old for this stuff, so I'm going to go find someone else. He could have found a younger guy.
That's right.
But He didn't.
Amen.
He used Daniel. He could have said, Daniel, well, you've done enough. I mean, wow, you've done all this all your life. You rest now until the end. I'm going to use somebody else. He didn't say that.
Right, sir.
He picked Daniel. in his mid-80s and perhaps even 90 years old, he did what he could. Oh, notice the saint that God used to give us this prophecy was Daniel. Don't stop serving the Lord, senior saint. Don't. If you can, do what you can. Again, you may not be able to do what you did, but there are many things that you probably can do, and you do what you can tonight.
Amen.
So we see the saint that God used. Had to get that one off my chest. Number two, notice the specifics of the dream. Now let's get into this dream. Daniel sees four beasts. Notice we read in verse 3. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. We're going to stop there. And I want you to notice two things about this specifics. Number one, notice the place that these beasts came from. We read that Daniel in this dream, he sees the sea, the ocean, if you will. And as he's seeing this sea, he's seeing the four winds of heaven blow back and forth, and he does not see a calm sea. He does not see a smooth sea. He actually sees a chaotic sea. He sees a sea that is stirred up. May I remind us tonight that when the sea is used in the Bible, symbolically, it usually represents the world or the sea of people. It represents the nations of this world. You say, well, that seems a little stretch. Wait a minute here. Revelation 17:15, the Bible says, "The waters which thou sawest are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." And so understand this chaotic sea represents the sin-cursed world that we live in and the nations and the world governments that are going to arise out of this sea. And he sees four great beasts rise up from the sea, one after the other. Now we know that these four beasts represent four great Gentile kingdoms. Have your sheet there if you would. Again, they are the same kingdoms that were represented in Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2, but here we are given a little more detail. All four kingdoms, understand, rise up from these world, chaotic world conditions, each of them different from the three, but notice all of them kind of, if you will, rolling into the next one. So it's just simply really one empire that's overtaken of mankind to another, to another, to another, here to the end, and we'll see that. So we see the place that they came from was the sea. Notice the particulars of the beast. Let's see the descriptions of these beasts. And we're going to find the characteristics of these four great empires. Notice, if you will, in verse 4, the first beast. The Bible says the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld until the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. So this first beast is seen as a lion with eagle's wings. There is no doubt that this is speaking of the Babylonian Empire. You see, the winged lion was basically a national symbol of ancient Babylon. If you were to look back at ancient Babylon, often you'd see sculptures of these huge winged lions that stood at the entrances of the royal palaces. You'd see the winged lion stamped on certain things. Now understand, the lion was considered the king of the beasts, and the eagle was considered the king of the fowls. Now the wings on the lion signify swiftness of movement. You see, the winged lion is a fitted representation of Babylon because of its swift conquest of peoples. Now notice in Daniel's dream, as he sees this lion's wing, this lion with the wings, we see that its wings were plucked off. It was then made to stand on its hind feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you remember, after Nebuchadnezzar's humbling, after that tree dream, after he became like a wild beast, late in his reign, Babylon ceased conquering. Babylon became more humane in their treatment of people. And so this winged lion that had its wings plucked off, if you will, was a picture of the Babylonian Empire. Then notice he gives us the next picture, the second beast, in verse 5. And behold, another beast. A second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, arise, devour much. So we see this second beast that is rising up from the sea after the first beast is a bear. This bear, we know, represents the Medo-Persian Empire. And just as a bear is more massive in size than a lion, so was the Medo-Persian Empire than the Babylonian Empire. Just as a bear is slower than a lion, so was the Medo-Persian Empire as well. You see, the Medo-Persian Empire became a much larger kingdom than the Babylonian Empire. And it conquered them, and we read of it in Daniel chapter 5, in 539 B.C. You see, the Medo-Persians were known for their huge size. They were known for their slow yet progressive and determined movement. But notice that this bear, as we read in verse 5, had one side raised higher than the other. Now, what does that mean? Well, the Medo-Persian Empire was a partnership empire. It's called the Medo-Persian Empire because it was two groups of people. It was the Medes and the Persians. Now, through time, the Persians would gain the power over the Medes. Hence, the one side raised up. We also see that this bear that had one side raised up higher than the other, representing the Persians over the Medes in a sense, that it had three ribs in its mouth. History tells us that the Medo-Persian Empire, in order to come to their place of prominence, had to conquer three great kingdoms to gain their position. They conquered the kingdom of Lydia, they conquered the kingdom of Egypt, and they conquered the kingdom of Babylon. And so they had those three ribs in their mouth that represent those three kingdoms that they had devoured. But the Medo-Persian Empire was known for this. They always wanted more. They never had enough. They were known for their insatiable desire to conquest and gain as much power as they possibly could. Hence the second beast. Then we read of the third beast in verse 6. Notice the Bible says, after this I beheld, and lo, like a leopard which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. As you see in your handout, and as you know from Daniel chapter 2, that this third beast represents the Grecian Empire. You see, leopards are known primarily for many things, but certainly for their ability to run fast. We say they're fast as a leopard. Now, while the lion, the Babylonian Empire, while it had two wings of a lion, which represented swiftness, the four wings on the leopard represented this even more, because they were much more swift in their conquering. Under Alexander the Great, Greece conquered the known world faster than any other ancient power. They had broken the back of the Medo-Persian Empire in the year 331 BC. Alexander the Great had the fastest moving army known. In 8 years' time, the Greeks marched and conquered more than 11,000 miles of territory. They conquered from Greece in the west all the way to India in the east. And after Alexander's untimely and early death at the age of 32 in 322 BC, the Grecian Empire was actually, it still did survive for some time, and it was divided into four different parts under four different generals. Notice, if you will, we read the back of it had four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads. These represented those generals under Alexander the Great that continued on in the Grecian Empire, one over the north, one over the south, one over the east, and one over the west. And they continued, at least 100+ years after the death of Alexander the Great, which brings us to the final beast. Notice, if you will, in verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast." Notice how it's described, though. It says a dreadful and a terrible. Now, I didn't know what to put. This is the only picture I found, but it doesn't say what it is, but there's a picture of something that to most of us would look dreadful and terrible. If you like that sort of thing, then something's wrong with you. But anyway, dreadful and terrible. Notice, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. Before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. So again, this fourth beast is a nondescript animal, and it represents the Roman Empire. It is described as, notice, dreadful. He says in verse 7, terrible. It is exceeding strong that no living animal could represent it. This was no doubt an accurate description of the Roman Empire. You see, the Roman Empire was able to crush and shatter the ancient world in an unparalleled way. And they crushed and defeated the empire, the Grecian Empire, in 146 BC. But notice that we see something different. Out of this beast we see rises out 10 horns. This is speaking of the last days. You see, while Daniel observed these 10 horns coming out of this beast, he sees a little horn rising up among them. This little horn pushes its way up, and it uproots 3 of the 10 horns. And the Bible says in verse 8 that this horn had human eyes, had human intelligence, and had human personality. Now, we know from the interpretation given later in verse 23 and verse 24 that these 10 horns that emerge out of the revived Roman Empire are 10 kings. And the one little horn that rises up and pushes aside the 3 and comes on top, this little horn is the Antichrist. Amen. Now, we're going to see that a little bit later. But understand that the Roman Empire will experience 3 stages of history. First, there is the beast stage. That's when they defeated the Grecian Empire. Then in the latter days, there is going to be the 10-horn stage. You see, there'll be a revised Roman Empire in the end days. You know, all this talk about one world government, one world religion, all of that is heading to this one world government, and out of that is going to emerge the Antichrist. It's going to begin with a 10-nation coalition that are going to get together and have form a world government with a world court. And we hear all of this stuff today. And again, this little horn is going to lead at the end days this one world revived Roman Empire. You know, in the last days, this one world government will finally be realized. Think about it. Empire after empire, they had the goal to rule the world, to show how they can make this utopia without God. And in the last days, formed by this 10-nation coalition, this is going to be realized. After the rapture occurs and the church age saints are taken out of this world, the Antichrist will then be revealed. He will come at first as a person of peace. He's going to solve the Middle East problem, and they're going to make him, if you will, the head of this one world government. And he will be the ultimate expression of a man that is going to rule the world without God.
Right.
And when verse 8 ends in Daniel chapter 7, we see this little horn. Let's read it, if you will. I'm going to read it again. I considered the horns. And behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth, notice, speaking great things. I didn't read verse 23 and 24, but let's read that. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it into pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change the times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing and the dividing of time. And so when we get to the end of verse 8, here we see the Antichrist enthroned as the world leader, speaking great blasphemies against God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sits on his throne, if you will, to be worshipped as God. He is the ultimate Antichrist.
Right.
But let me say this. That's not the end of the story.
Amen.
We may look at that and say, oh my, oh me. By the way, this is where we're headed.
Right.
This is where this whole thing is headed. We cannot stop it. We are heading to a one world government, whether that be realized in our lifetime or not. That's where it is going.
Right.
And it's going to be headed up by the Antichrist. But it doesn't end there.
Praise the Lord.
May I remind us tonight that God does not give his glory to another.
Amen.
God will not sit back as the rulers of this world and the Antichrist sits on his throne blaspheming God, martyring, injuring, and attacking the saints of God. He does not sit back and watch.
Amen.
Notice what happens, number 3, and we're done here. Not only the saints God, the saint God used, the specifics of the dream. Notice the Savior's kingdom established.
Amen.
I like this. I beheld in verse 9, till the thrones were cast down. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000s ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened.
Amen.
Here in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9, notice what happens here. While Daniel, for the first 8 verses, he's having this dream and he's seeing the sea and all the turmoil of this world. And he's seeing one beast rise after another and defeating this beast and defeating this beast. All of a sudden in verse 9, the scene goes from the Antichrist on his throne. Take the camera, if you will, and bring it up to heaven.
Praise the Lord. Right?
Because we find ourselves standing there in heaven, seeing Daniel, seeing God's judgment throne.
Hallelujah.
On this throne in heaven, we see the Ancient of Days. We see his garments are as white as snow. His hair is pure wool. His throne is like a fiery flame. Can you see the throne of God in heaven looking down upon what's going on in this world and quietly, patiently waiting there, knowing in a moment what's going to happen? The Bible says thousands of thousands are around him. Can you see all around this throne the departed saints, the angels, hundreds of millions of them, this great host ready to move at God's bidding?
Amen.
In verse 11 we read this: I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given to him dominion and glory and kingdom, and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed.
Amen.
You say, what's going on here? I'll tell you what's going on. The Lord Jesus Christ is now returning back from heaven to earth for his second coming, and he comes to this earth with 10,000s and thousands of his saints riding on that white horse, coming back to put down that little horn, to put down his kingdom and take the Antichrist and the false prophet and cast them in the lake of fire.
Amen.
And he sets up his kingdom on this earth, which is an everlasting kingdom.
Amen.
A kingdom where all the people and all the nations and all the languages of those that know him as their Savior will serve him day and night. Christ will reign. He'll sit on the throne of David. He will reign at last. He will be seen once and for all and established as who he is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Imagine, can you see the crowns yanked off the head of the Antichrist and now placed on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ? All power and glory to him. Amen. I like winning.
Amen.
Amen, man.
I like it. He's going to rule in righteousness in his everlasting kingdom. And those of us that know him as Savior, guess what we're going to do? We're going to rule and reign with him. Not about you, but there's a side of me inside there that wants to go, ha! Let me know what I'm talking about, right? When we're standing there in his kingdom as servants of the Lord, knowing we've given our life to him, lived for him, gave our time and energy, and that day comes.
Hallelujah.
I'm sorry. I just like to win. I just like to win.
Amen.
Point is this: Christ is coming again.
Praise the Lord.
Let's not get caught up. Listen, if you're like me, I like to be informed. I try to. I wish I'd probably do a better job at it. I like to be informed about politics and all that. But you know, you can get so caught up in that stuff. You can get so caught up with trying to make our government and everything in this world a better place to live, from which people depart and go to hell if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Right.
Our job in this world is not to make the world a better place. Our job in this world is to serve the King of Kings.
Amen.
And the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
God has mapped this thing out for us. He told us what's going to happen.
Amen.
He gives us the end of this. Hey, ever have somebody, I remember in the old days of a video, sometimes you'd record a game. You know, I know they have technology today where you can do it, things a little bit differently. But I remember sometimes I used to like to watch the Flyers. And I remember sometimes I'd be at work, so I'd tape the Flyers game. And then I remember that before I got to watch the Flyers game the next day, someone would say, hey, did you hear the Flyers won? Thanks a lot. because I won't watch the game. But I knew the ending. And you know what? I was glad they won. God gives us the ending here.
Amen.
We win. Listen, don't get discouraged. Don't get down. Don't get weary in well-doing. I know we all fight the same fight. We deal with the loss. We deal with society. We deal with that. Just remember, the best thing, the greatest thing that you and I can do with our lives, the greatest thing that we can do with our families is raise them for the Lord and serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because the day is coming
Hallelujah.
When the beasts fall.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.